This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Come the Maori and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Bobby McCumba. I'm a huge sports fan. I've lived and worked across the Pacific, and my mother, as some of you already know, was an Iquitovas woman who hailed from the islands of Abayang and Matakei. And hey, if you haven't already subscribed to the weekly ABC Pacific newsletter, you totally should. It's the best way to keep up with news and stories from the Pacific, and it's super easy. All you have to do is Google ABC Pacific, scroll down to the bottom of the website and enter your email. Keep you up to date, I highly recommend. Now, if you've been listening to the show over the last month, you'll know that I'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific. Each co-host will share the latest local sports news on the ground and in the islands. My first co-host is a sports journalist for the national newspaper in Port Moresby and also your weekly sports reporter for ABC Radio Australia's Nija Daily Breakfast Show. It's Patricia Chiamo. Nice to have you back, Patricia.
Hello, hello, Bobby. Thank you so much. It's good to be back. Been a while since I've done this, so.
And my other co-host is a sports presenter for Cook Islands TV. It's Nicolia Matearicki. Kia rana, Nicolia.
Kia rana, Bobby. Thank you for having me back.
Wonderful to have you both. Patricia, how are you enjoying your new role on Nija Daily? I hope Michael and Jacob are treating you well.
Yes, they are, and I have come to love the segment on Fridays. Honestly, it's just a great start to my weekend. It's been a great month already and going towards the second month now.
Well, I love hearing your voice on Radio Australia across so many different shows. So well done on that. Nicolia, of course, you are always busy on Cook Islands TV and making your way around the islands. Did you get up to anything over the Easter weekend in the Cook Islands?
Yes. So, well, besides all the church services that we had on Monday, Easter Monday, we had our main volleyball tournament and my team came second. We're okay. We're happy. We're proud of our achievements. But the team that we just lost in the finals by 2 points. So we just missed out by 2 points. And that's a really big thing for our team because we're a young team. We're still a young youth development team against older, more experienced players, but that's okay. We'll come again next year.
Oh, no doubt you will. And going to Hawaii, look out. That's exciting. Coming up on the show, which Super Rugby team celebrated twice over the Easter weekend?
Full arm penalty this time and taken quickly by Lamani. And he's got Radu Taumanga with him and he has nobody in front of him. Celestino Radu Taumanga, the draw. Snap and down the right side. A little bit of space and a possible overlap as well. Has she got the pace to get away? Milania. Oh, what about the step in slippery conditions? And they're on their feet again in Lantonga.
And it looks like we'll be seeing the return of this team in 2025.
Lovely pass, that one from Brown. Here's Hale. She's got support. The Warriors are going to get another try, and it's Shania Power.
Up the Waz!
Up the Waz, baby!
Up the Waz, indeed. Lautoka has been hosting a lot of international rugby recently, but we'll find out what other sport will be headlining that village very soon. We'll give you the latest sports gossip from around the Pacific, plus loads more, so make sure you stick around.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Off the Field, uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Every week, my co-hosts and I will cover sports spanning the Pacific region, providing in-depth analysis and highlighting some of the top moments. But before we get to that, let's have some fun.
Coconut Wireless.
The Coconut Wireless is where we delve into sports rumours happening in the islands. Who's switching codes and who is getting sacked? These are not verified facts. They're lacking evidence, but these are just some of the rumours happening around sport in your country. Patricia, Papua New Guinea, what have you got for us? What have you heard on the Coconut Wireless?
Yeah, Bobby. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing rumours of visa issues surrounding players in the PNG Hunters team that's competing at the Host Plus Cup. So a couple of key players have yet to sort out their visa approval, and that has impacted them from travelling to Australia with the team for their away games. And, you know, without having their visa and not travelling for their away games, that has sort of affected the team's performance in the last couple of games they've played away. Different results were seen in the home game. So they also have another away game this weekend, so we'll see how that one goes. I'm just hoping that that's not the case with visas for the team.
I tell you what, visas are very hard. It's unbelievable how often we have to do them. I struggle with them myself, so actually managing a team and getting all of those sorted. Good luck to the person that is organising those visas, and hopefully that doesn't impact their competition in the future. What else have you got for us, Patricia?
Yeah, also, I have something else for touch footy. Well, unfortunately, that rumour actually turned out to be true this morning, but I'm just going to share it anyway. So the Papua New Guinea Open Men's Touch head coach was rumoured to step down from his post as coach for the men's open men's team, rather, for the Touch World Cup in Nottingham, England, later this year. And there have been concerns raised on the selection of the squad for the World Cup, and lots of criticism was thrown at the National Federation. So I am assuming that might be a factor in this development. Now, just this morning, we've received confirmation that the coach has actually stepped down from his role.
Right. Are there any ideas of someone who will take their place, an assistant coach or someone else coming in? They've got the World Cup coming later this year. There's not too much time to get going.
Yeah, definitely. From what I know, I think that the assistant coach, he's a local. He's going to be looking after the team for now until such time when a replacement for that position is brought in. But I'm just hoping they get this sorted out soon, because they only have a couple more months to prepare for the World Cup.
Well, hopefully they do get that locked in soon, and the players no doubt will be a little bit nervous about that, but hopefully they can just keep doing what they're doing and succeed in that World Cup. Thank you, Patricia. Nicolia, what have you heard on the Coconut Wireless in the Cook Islands?
Yes, thank you. Usually here in the Cook Islands, we have heaps of coconut wireless going on, especially through sports. But recently, maybe because of the Easter weekend, it has been a bit quiet. There hasn't been much coconut wireless going on. However, we're just coming to the end of our rugby league season here in the Cook Islands. And as the weeks go by, of course, a few of us have heard rumours that the top team will be looking at recruiting more of the Fijian players from Fiji to come here to the Cook Islands to play in the finals competition. That's if the team does make it through. So we've seen over the past few weeks, the games have been really intense lately. And I think now it's been really equal for all the villages here in the Cook Islands who are part of the rugby games. Fijians to us are like key players in terms of rugby, and we've seen it worldwide, not just here but around the world. So I know that a lot of the teams now each have a few players in their team who are from Fiji. And just as the lead up to the finals, Avachu, who is currently leading in the men's category, they are also looking at importing more.
Oh, wonderful. It's nice when other Pacific Islands can come and join your teams. It's obviously war when you play against them, but good to hear the Fijians are on your side in this instance. Thank you to Patricia and Nicolia. That was
Coconut Wireless.
All right, it's time to find out what's happening in sport across our islands. Patricia, what are some of the local sports highlights happening in Papua New Guinea this week?
Well, first up, we have Papua New Guinea's golden girl, Dika Toa. She has missed out of a qualification spot for the Paris Olympic Games during the International Weightlifting Federation's World Cup held in Thailand over the weekend. But she still has a slight chance of making it into the Olympic Games. There's currently wildcard invitations from the International Olympic Committee, and Dika is among 32 weightlifting applicants from across 28 countries that have applied for the wildcard entry now. She is going to turn 40 in June, and she still has a chance of going to Paris via that university place. Now, she competed at the World Cup, and she totaled an impressive lift of 171 kg, a feat that she hasn't done since 2019. Unfortunately, she missed two lifts in the snatch and jerk, and that followed by her arrival from Madagascar, who lifted a total of 172 kg, just a kilo above her total, and took the last qualification spot. Her aim is to become the first weightlifter ever to compete at 6 Olympic Games. That's the biggest local report we have this week.
That's incredible. You mentioned Dekatoa, a powerhouse in weightlifting, and she's turning 40. Jen Lee Winnie from the Solomons, another powerhouse, she's 40. Is the prime age for weightlifting 40? I would have thought it's a little bit younger, but strong women in the Pacific in their 40s.
Yeah, honestly, if you see her right now, you wouldn't think that she's 40. I mean, she looks... I can't even...
I've looked it up, and the average peak age for powerlifters is 35, and the average peak age of weightlifters is 26. So look out, 26 and at 40, these two are killing it. Anyway, enough about that. I'm just obsessed with the strong women of the Pacific. Patricia, what else do you have for us in local sports news?
Well, apart from Dika's news in weightlifting, we also have news on the deferral of one of PNG's biggest national sporting event, that's the PNG Games, that's usually held every 2 to 3 years. The last edition was held in 2017, and since then we've had numerous delays on having the 8th edition of the PNG Games. Now, formerly it was called the Grassroots Games, and that event was used to identify potential talents from across the country to join Team PNG for international events like the Pacific Games and the Pacific Mini Games. Now, for this year, the Games has been deferred the last 3-4 years, and it was supposed to be held in September this year, but the National Executive Council has approved an order for the Games to be deferred to next June, so we have to wait over a year to have that game again. And also, the government has approved a budget of 270 million kina. That's probably the highest budget ever allocated for this game. So that funding is going to go towards facilities, completion of facilities. That's going to be held in the Highlands, Southern Highlands. So, yeah, a lot of money is going towards funding for the facilities, security, and every other aspect of hosting that big event. Now, this deferral has caused a lot of uncertainty within the sporting fraternity in PNG. A lot of talks have come up on, certain decisions made behind the scenes that has impacted this, but from what I found out yesterday, the main reason for the deferral of the PNG Games is because of funding. Now, even though the government had approved a budget of 270 million kina, that funding's going to be sourced from, various places or means, rather. So it's going to take a while, a little while, for them to have that money on hand to prepare everything for the Games.
It does cost a significant amount of money to host games, and no doubt a lot of the money through government would have helped the PNG team get to the Pacific Games in Honiara as well. Hopefully the change and the delay in the games don't change the athletes that are competing in it, and they can all still do that as well, even though it is being pushed back a year. Patricia, what else do you have for us?
Yeah, so we have an exciting weekend of cricket coming up. So Cricket Papua New Guinea is having its biggest domestic competition, a T20 smash, and It's currently underway in Port Moresby, rather. In we have the men's competition running first, and followed by the women's competition in the next 2 weeks. So this week I spoke to the tournament director for the competition, Lakani Oala, and he gave me a rundown of the competition.
Yeah, I'm confident we'll be ready by the test day. And we, as you can see, we're doing finishing touches to the ground. Yeah, I'm confident that we will pull it off.
I understand that the first 2 weeks or so of competition will be the men's games only, given that the PNG Lewas are away for their tour.
Yes, the first three weeks will be the men's, and the next 3 weeks will be the Lewas, due to the fact that the Lewas are on tour at the moment, and the Waras are at home, and so they've had the 2 weeks break. So we hope that they're now fresh for the SSU Cup this time.
So how many teams in total for the men's and the women's are competing?
Okay, traditionally we have four teams each. For the men's and the women's teams, they have the same names. We have the Mad Men, Black Bass, we have the Mariners. Anyway, four teams, they got the same names for the Barras and the...
There's going to be some under 19 players for both men's and women's, you know, competing in those respective teams?
Yes, definitely. We have the under 19 boys who are preparing, and we have identified 16 boys to be separated into four teams, joining the four Barramundi team in those teams. And the rest of the teams will be made up of players who have offered their services. We've tried out a new system, a selection system, where associations or competitions are being encouraged to... We've given them a link to nominate the players, and from that, then we make up the last four players.
Yeah. That also gives an opportunity for, you know, talent in associations and all that to come in.
Absolutely, yes. So we've had quite a number of applicants from outside of our official competitions. So, you know, and the others, you know, they are from our talent ID programs. So, yes, there'll be a good array of players coming around from the outside.
So in the next couple of months, we have the... two under 19 teams going off for their qualifiers, as well as the Barramundis going for the World Cup. So how is this competition, you know, adding with their preparation into their respective tournaments?
Yeah, well, as you said, this is our flagship competition. We have our best players. We want our best players competing against each other. So the benefit to the under 19s, both girls and boys, will be playing against the best players in the country, and you know, so just to sharpen them up for the higher competitions that they are aiming to go to, and that will be also a good selection point for those teams. Both teams have not been finalized, so we're just trialing some of those players that we think can make it. And unfortunately, we can only trial 16 players each for the men's and the women's from under-19s. So, you know, from this round of matches, we hope that we can be able to finalize the under-19 sports and also the Barramundis and the Lewas. There's there's no guarantee that the current Barramundis and current Lewas are cemented. They have cemented the position, so they have to. There's a lot of fence sitters, you know, available, and if some of those players coming in from under 19, and I think that some of them can, if they play well, they can force their way into the teams.
Lots of cricket happening in Papua New Guinea, and that's why they are one of the strongest teams in the Pacific region. I do recall playing for Samoa and playing against PNG, and they won quite convincingly. Good to hear they're still doing very well. Thank you for that, Patricia. Nicolea, what's been happening in sports in the Cook Islands?
Yes, sports in the Cook Islands, there's been a lot of sports going on lately. We just started our triathlon, but also we just came to the finals for Touch Rugby, which was held on the Easter Monday as well. And that was between the women's and the men's team. So for the women's, we had Team Nooks Power, who took it out again this year. Throughout the whole tournament, it has been going for 7 weeks, and Nooks Power surprisingly has never lost a game. So basically they clean sweep from the beginning right through to the end. However, for the men's category, Achi Warriors, they were able to take out this competition, and it wasn't an easy game for them. When they played in the finals, they just won by 1 point against Team Get. So that was an interesting game to watch. There was like over 100 people down at the grandstand watching the games, which is really cool. We had people scattered everywhere, of course, and the volleyball was going on this at the same time. So everybody was everywhere on that day. And yeah, so we had the touch going on just at the stadium, and just up on the top, we had the Easter volleyball tournament, which was going on as well. And this went on from the morning right until the evening for both women's and men's. And then we also had another Easter volleyball tournament for the churches, for a CICC church around the Cook Islands. So a lot of volleyball, a lot of touch was going on during the Easter. And just the weekend before this, we had our Athletics Oceania Trials. So we had a few athletes who participated in this. However, not many people turned up to it. I'm not sure if it was the promotion or that the word got out there, but it seemed pretty okay. I was there, of course, and I got to interview a few players who did qualify to make it over. So they'll be traveling over to Fiji, to Suva, Fiji, and the Oceania will be from the 1st to the 8th of June. And then we also have our netball season starting up soon as well. We've got the under 21s netball trials, which will start from the 16th to the 19th of May. So that's coming up very soon, and that's an exciting event for all our netball players to look forward to, because actually netball season was supposed to start already for Netball Cook Islands, but we've had a lot of difficulty in terms of trying to find coaches and trying to find which teams will be participating in this year and which teams will not be taking part. And so yeah, it's been a really exciting year for sports. And what else? We've also had the rugby league. So this Easter weekend, rugby league took a break to celebrate Easter, of course, but this weekend we're all back on again. We have the two top teams who will be taking a rest this week, but they will definitely be back on next week to play. And yes, so we've got a lot of sports activities going on here in the Cook Islands, and we've also just finished our kids' gymnastic classes. They had a four-week class, which is really good and really interesting to see that we also have a few local kids who are interested in gymnastics, because as most people know, gymnastic is not quite a popular sport here in the Cook Islands, but to see so many younger children turn up and actually have the will to participate, that's been really amazing for us here. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like there is plenty happening in sport in the Cook Islands at the moment. You mentioned netball. Cook Islands are famous for having a very strong netball team. Didn't land on the podium at the Pacific Games this time, but they are previous gold medalists. Is Curly still around? Curly Taripo? We spoke to her on Fresh Off the Field whilst we were in Honiara.
Oh, yes, yes, Curly. So Curly, she is an amazing netball player for the Cook Islands. She is so good. But yes, she's still part of Netball Cook Islands this year. She has been given the role to take up as the national coach. I'm not quite sure if she did take up the role, because she was saying to me that she didn't want to. She wanted to give the opportunity out to other coaches out there, or other qualified coaches, I suppose. So, yeah, but that was an interesting one for her. And
yeah, she seemed like she was very much a mother figure. She said she was a mother of the team, and she was embracing a lot of the younger ones coming through. So that's good to hear that she's still going to be around. If she's not playing, she might be coaching. Nicolia, who did you have a chance to catch up with this week?
This week I had a chance to catch up with the young under 14 players for Cook Islands Rugby League. So they are in the Avachu team, and Avachu so far has not lost the game yet. So these younger kids, they were wanting to do an interview. Like, I was trying to get the older men to do an interview about, like, how the premier games are going so far. But they were like, oh, Nicolia, you always interview the older people. Like, you should interview us. So I was like, okay, you know what? Why not? Like, it's true. I'm always out there trying to get the main game. And I'm not saying that the kids' games are not the main game. But, you know, of course, a lot of the people like to see the more intense matches in the premier grade. So this week I got to speak to them.
Let's take a listen and see what those young kids had to say about playing rugby.
G'day everyone, my name is Taking, and we're at the Avatu Field training for our game on Saturday, and we're hosting, and we're just playing around right now, and please come support our game, watch it, and that's me.
King, what is your goal for your game this week?
To get a good tackle and a try.
Kia ora, my name is Trey, and I am the runner. I'm not just a runner, I'm a tackler too, and a stepper. And my brother's name is King. And we're going to verse Ararangi this week on Saturday.
And what is your goal for our game this week?
Winning, yep. And try.
How are you going to accomplish your goal?
We have to train and do some drills and stuff and get better.
And who is your favourite rugby player?
He's in Broncos and his name is AKA Reese Walsh.
Yep. And do you wish to play like Reese Walsh when you get older?
I think so, I am.
I'm JJ and Jerry.
Nice one, JJ. And JJ, which team do you play for?
Blue team.
You play for the blue team?
Yeah. And I play in Eels.
You play in the Eels team?
Yeah.
And JJ, what do you love about rugby?
I love playing and I love chocolates to eat.
You know how to tackle?
Yeah. So I run to my feet day.
Yeah.
And I high tackle everyone by the shoulders. And it's going to be a good day for soccer, so I have to command that.
Okay. Thank you, JJ.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
That was some of the cutest interviews we've had on the show. And some quite confident kids there, isn't it, as well? With a name like King, I imagine winning is your goal and you are going to be confident. But JJ at the end, your favourite things about rugby? Eating chocolate. I mean, that in itself is adorable. Well, they sound like a lot of fun. And they also sound like they have your energy, Nicolia, which is awesome to hear. It's so fantastic to learn about the sports events taking place throughout our Pacific Islands and hearing from not only our adult athletes, but also our junior ones as well. So thanks very much, Patricia and Nicolia. We're going to take a look at sport across the Pacific now. Patricia, we've got more sports happening in Lautoka, but it's not rugby.
Yeah, so this week we have the West Pacific Junior Tennis Championship that's currently underway in Lautoka. The tournament started on Monday and there's about 60 juniors from Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, Fiji and Papua New Guinea. They are competing in three age categories, under 12, under 14 and under 16, across 11 events in both singles and doubles. Now, the tournament has also seen top-seeded players from all categories, but the one that's really stood out for me this week is the under 16 boys singles and doubles, as well as the under 16 girls. It's dominated by Fijian juniors. From watching how the Fijians and the Solomon Islands went in the Pacific Games, I gotta say, these juniors from Fiji are really smashing it on the courts. For the under 14 girls now, in the singles and doubles, we have PNG's very own star, Kolita Hakena. She's the top seeded player in that category, and so far she has won all her singles and doubles matches, who is also one of the highest ranked junior tennis player in the Oceania region, and now going up against the likes of Fiji, who have dominated this junior tournament. It's going to be really interesting to see how the finals go. And we also have some really great players from Solomon Islands and Vanuatu who are also making their mark there in the tournament. Now, it's a very important tournament for the juniors, especially given that it's the qualifier for the Pacific Oceania Championship that's set for July.
Here we go. So the West Pacific Junior Tennis Championships happening in Lautoka in Fiji. Fijians seem to be dominating at the moment. Playing on home turf is always great. Thank you, Patricia. Nicolia, what have you heard in sport across the Pacific that has caught your eye?
Yes, Patricia, I think we also have a tennis team as well who will be taking part in this event, but I'm not quite sure. We have a junior tennis team, under 16s, 14s and 12s, who will be departing Rarotonga this coming Saturday. But they are going to Tahiti and they will be competing in the Oceania Championships as well. Yeah, so we have 14 of our younger athletes who will be going, and one of these participants are two sisters. So one will be playing in the under-12s and one in the under-16s. So the one in the under-16s, which is Raite Arungu, she has been representing the Cook Islands in tennis for many... she started representing the Cook Islands for tennis when she was 12. So she's still in tennis, and she's actually been traveling across the Pacific so far. She's also been to Sri Lanka for tennis, and just spoke to her over the weekend and asked her about how she's feeling about this tournament. Although she's been traveling a lot for tennis internationally, she still says that she's a bit nervous for this one. So yeah, I think a lot of her tournaments have been a major event for herself, but to take her sister as well on this trip, I think that's an amazing thing for the two of them. And she's obviously set the bar as a role model for her younger sister, so that's really good to see as well.
Wonderful. Lots of tennis happening in the Pacific in both countries, and lots of juniors starting at 12. She picked up the tennis racket nice and early, so good luck to her. Thank you, Nicolia. Let's take a look at some news that came out this week. So the NRLW will expand in 2025 to include two more teams, taking it to a 12-team competition. The Waz, or the Warriors, come back after dropping out of the NRLW during COVID, so it's good to see that team coming back. And then we've got Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, who will be joining the comp. So 12 teams, 2025 NRLW, more room for our Pacific women to get in there. Hopefully we'll see some more Pacific Islanders joining those teams as well. In the men's, in the NRL, Fiji has officially submitted their application to field a team in the NRL in 2026. So this is the same spot the PNG will be bidding for as well. So look, if we could get both PNG and Fiji, wouldn't that be great? But will Fiji pip PNG at the post? We know PNG have been fighting for that for a little while. Either way, good luck to both of those countries, and hopefully we can see more teams in the NRL with Pacifica people in them. Patricia, OFC qualifying tournaments. We've got some more junior sports happening. Whereabouts is this happening?
So there's two qualifying tournaments for OFC, for the junior championships, that's happening in the next 2 weeks. First up, we have the under-16 men's championship. Now, the qualifying tournament will be held in Tonga from the 13th to the 19th of April. And there's four countries that will compete for one spot. So that's Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, American Samoa, and the host Tonga. They will be competing in a round-robin format over three match days, and the winner from the four countries will join New Zealand, Fiji, New Caledonia, Tahiti, Cook Islands, Vanuatu, and Samoa in the centralized tournament in Tahiti from the end of July to August. Now, there's only one spot, so those four countries will fight to get that one spot to go into the main tournament. Now, also this month, we have the under-19 men's championship, the qualifying event. It's happening in Vanuatu. Again, there's four countries that will compete in the tournament for a place at the centralized tournament. That's going to be held in July in Samoa. So we have Tonga, Cook Islands, Vanuatu, and American Samoa. And like the under-16 tournament, they will play each other in a round-robin format over three match days. And the winner will join the rest of the Oceania countries. So it should be interesting to see how these four countries go head-to-head in the qualifying tournament for the under-19 championship. So the winner and the runner-up for the championship will qualify for the FIFA under-20 World Cup that's set for next year. And same applies to the under-16 men's championship. The winner and the runner-up will represent the region at the under-17 World Cup. That's also scheduled for next year.
Great to hear all of the updates of all of these junior tournaments that are happening around the Pacific region. Obviously, it starts at grassroots, but we've got these rep teams happening in under-16s, under-19s and making our top-tier competitions even stronger. Thank you very much for that update, Patricia. And Nicolia, what else have you heard in sport across the Pacific?
Sports across the Pacific for the Cook Islands, we have one of our very own, Nicole Tiaore. She'll be departing for Singapore in 10 more days. Recently, we just had a fundraiser in aid of helping her get across. We're not too sure how long she will be there for, and because she's traveling alone, this is her first trip to ever go by herself, but she is looking forward to it. She is a 19-year-old netball star already setting the pathway for herself. Nicole did participate in the Pacific Games as well, and prior to that she was also with the Nations Cup, the Cook Islands team at the Nations Cup in Singapore. So she's just been asked to go back there again to play for one of the teams there, and we'll see where she goes off from there. But she is really excited for it. She's been training really, really hard. Lately, we've been seeing posts of her at the gym and then extra trainings afterwards. So she's hasn't really had a rest, I'm sure. But she's onto it. She's good. She's looking forward to it. And we can't wait to hear more from her trip once she gets there.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nicolia. And finally, in the Super Rugby, in the men's, Drua beat the Force in a match played at Churchill Park in Lautoka that was basically underwater. They will move up to seventh. Moana lost to the Blues, who sit second on the ladder, which means Moana are ninth and just out of the finals. And Drua has just appointed the Melbourne Rebels' outgoing CEO, who was made redundant as interim GM. So that will be a little bit of a cultural change from Melbourne to Fiji, but why not? Super Rugby in the women's, Drua women also beat the Force in another doubleheader. They sit second after three rounds. It is a short season, so there's only two more rounds to go. They have the Brumbies this week, who are on equal points, so that will be a crucial clash with the winner probably making the final there. As always, it's nice to hear about sport that's happening across our islands, not just in our specific islands. So thank you, Patricia and Nicolia.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
I was very excited about our next guest. Tana Umanga was one of the greatest All Blacks of all time. I got to sit down with him and I asked him if his job as head coach of Moana has been the most satisfied he's felt in his coaching career.
Good question, actually. Probably up there with my time at Counties Monaco, I think. Very similar cohort of player group, where they're from and everything like that. You know, we don't get the resources that every other team gets. So I suppose it does make every day challenging, but every day, you know, you go home grateful and feel like you've achieved something. Here at Moana, obviously being a Pacific Islander, understanding where, you know, how we got here, parents immigrating when they were young to provide a better life for their children and their families. And that story is very similar to every player and every Pacific Islander that's here at Moana. You know, our purpose is strong. You know, it just makes you get on with things because you know that, you know, when our parents or grandparents or aunties or uncles came over, they didn't have a lot. And so we've just got to make sure that we, you know, learn from that. But also, you know, we just got to get on with the job and we'll make it easier or make it better for those that come after us.
I've seen several players talk about the strength of culture in the team and the way that you celebrate and incorporate that. How does that feature in the day-to-day team?
Oh, look, we talk about it a lot. You know, we're unapologetically Pacifica here. You know, everything we do, we try and embrace our cultures. You know, we greet each other. You know, we start the day with hymns and prayer, I think, like you know, our parents and our families do. And we also acknowledge just who we are, if that makes sense, with the language. And, you know, I think you know, making sure that we under, you know, professional sports people, what that entails, you know, both culture and performance. You know, that's the hard thing. We've got to make sure that we're developing our culture. We're good advertisement for our culture as well, and ambassadors for that. And also understand winning is an outcome, is a byproduct of the work we do during the week. Because as everyone's learned, that just builds pressure. You know, there's enough pressure on our guys as it is to do what they're doing. Specifically with our Pacific people, a lot of our guys are breadwinners for not just their family, but their extended family. You have to provide for a lot of people, which is the norm for us. And we just got to understand that, and that's a great privilege. But it does come with managing that, is making sure that we have longevity in this game. And longevity comes from making sure that, you know, we're getting the right behaviours, the right processes in place so we can be consistent. And when we're consistent off the field and consistent in terms of how we train, then we bring consistent in performance. And that's what we're just trying to push to our players around: how to be a professional athlete, how do you produce those performances by, you know, having the consistent habits.
Whether it's in Tonga, Samoa, anywhere throughout the Pacific or New Zealand, Australia, how have you seen the change in Pacifica celebration and recognition across your 30 years in rugby union?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just the knowledge of our part that we play in rugby union. So now we're actually getting acknowledged in terms of the right pronunciation of our name, which is the main one, you know. We're getting the respect in terms of the amount of Pacifica players that are not just playing in New Zealand teams, Australian teams, but now as far abroad as Europe, Italy, you know, we're seeing, just like my parents who immigrated from Samoa to New Zealand, you know, this first or second generation have now through immigrated into the European nations where they've applied that trade to provide for their family representing those countries. You know, although they're representing France, England, Wales, New Zealand, Australia, they very much still connect to their grassroots of their heritage of where their ancestors are from. You know what I mean? And I think that's a great thing. You don't lose sight of where we're from or where our parents came from. And I think people are starting to acknowledge that too. We're very proud Pacifica people. We want to make sure that we're flying the flags for our countries, for our families, which is, you know, first and foremost who we're there to represent.
Now, I'm sure you've loved and cherished playing for the All Blacks and for Wellington, but do you ever look back and wish that you represented the Manu Samoa like your brother?
I suppose for me, I'm not one to look back and regret. You know, the path I took is the path I took, and all I advocate for, you just make the most of the opportunities that were given to you. And that's something I learned from my parents. You know, you've just got to take the opportunity. They provided an opportunity for me and brother and my siblings. And I always think and talk about, you know, who am I to waste the sacrifice our parents made, you know, to leave their families at a young age, come over here by themselves and try and make a better life. I was always probably for myself making sure that I, you know, whatever pathway I took, the best I could. And it wasn't, I think, choosing between Samoa and New Zealand. I actually wanted to play for Samoa at the 2005 World Cup, and I was asked, and I hadn't been in rugby that long. I was asked if I wanted to play, and I wanted to because my brother was involved, and that's the only reason I'm playing rugby at the time. But it was my brother that told me, look, you know, I'd represented the New Zealand under-21s, you know, that year. He just told me, you know, you've had got your foot in your door, and my dad would love having an All Black in the family. He was the one that kind of stopped me from playing for Samoa. And, you know, he's the one that I should be thankful to, and I am, that I continued and just tried to achieve, you know, what I needed to achieve. I think it was a very proud moment for me when I first I was able to coach Samoa the last few years and acknowledge and my parents. And I went home and got my makai through my mother's family. So I think my connection back with Samoa, you know, I didn't do it at the start, but I came round to it, you know. And, you know, as we say, you can never lose sight of it, but it's always there, you know, who we are. And you'll find it in your own time, you know, as those that were brought up away from Samoa. And, you know, the beauty of our culture here at Moana Pacifica is that, you know, we've got a lot of players who are similar. You know, we've had a few Australian players that have come over here and who really want to get back in touch with their culture. And, you know, they've been able to do that.
Speaking of Moana, how have you seen the season go so far?
I'll just keep thinking up and down. We seem to go up, you know, go down, go up, you know, get a couple of wins, and then we go, after the win, we go down, and then we come, got another win, go up, and then come straight back down. And I suppose that's also part of being, you know, for rugby, but being also a professional athlete, the ability to be able to back up week to week, you know, that's what sport is. And, you know, you can't dwell too long on the past, be it positive or negative. You've still got to, okay, what's my process? You know, I've got to go through this again because I've got another game in 7-6 days. And, you know, I need to make sure that for us, you know, we either have high highs and low lows. We only just, you know, if we're going to drop, we don't want to drop too much. You know, and that's what the good sides do. And that's what the true professionals or the good athletes do, their ability to stay at that top level and consistently hit that kind of performance week in and week out. But again, that's a learning. You know, that takes time, that takes experience. We've got a young group. It's just going to take us a bit of time to do that. And we just, you know, keep true to who we are.
You've got a Super Rugby game in Nuku'alofa in May. How excited are you and the group about that game?
Obviously, you know, we've got a good size Tongan contingent here. Very, very proud about that. They, you know, they're looking forward to it. And I think also us, as a whole, we represent the whole of the Pacific, but especially in terms of national sides, you know, we represent Samoa, Anu and Kalatahi, Tonga. So, you know, being able to go back and play on home soil is awesome. And we're all excited about that. They were able to play in Samoa last year, and it's great that we're going to Tonga this year. And hopefully, you know, we'll try and play there more often in the next year. So, again, it's just making sure that we got to, you know, we want to go over there and do well. Make sure we're performing at our best every week, you know, because that's what it'll take.
Tana Umanga, Whaftai Lava, thank you so much for your time.
Whaftai Lava.
That was Tana Umanga talking about the culture of Moana Pacifica and how he's been able to embrace his Samoan heritage throughout his career. All right, before we finish up, it's time to get to know my co-host and I a little bit more. It's time for our next segment. Gyamanstapwe is Talk Pissin for Pick the Lie. Each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie. And the other two co-hosts will try to gyamanstapwe. Patricia, we're going to start with you. If you can tell us three things, Nicolia and I will try and pick the lie. Off you go, Patricia.
Okay, three things about me. Number one, I am a Liverpool FC fan. Number two, I have tried commentating football matches. And the last one, I am calling a few cricket games this weekend.
Ooh. All right, Nicolia, what do you think the lie is?
This one is going to be quite tricky because I've only just met Patricia now. I don't. So I'm going to pick the commentary one. She is going to commentate cricket.
Cricket. Okay, you're going to go with cricket. I feel like you are going to do that, Patricia. Also, because you said you've tried to commentate football, I'm going to say that that's the lie. So I'm locking in the football commentary and Nicolia is locking in the cricket commentary. Patricia, what is the lie?
Ladies, I am so sorry to burst your bubble, but the lie is I am a Liverpool fan.
Oh, Patricia. You caught us.
So, yeah, I have tried commentating a couple of football matches over the last two years, going third now. And I'm calling a few cricket games this weekend.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
I am not a Liverpool fan. I am a Manchester United.
Oh, sounds like Nicolia is as well. All right, well, none of us got that one. That's fine. We're even. Let's go forward. Nicolia, tell us three things about yourself. Two true, one lie, please.
I have 6 Facebook accounts. I have white sandals.
And I am half Tongan.
Okay, very funny. All right, Patricia, yes. What is the lie? 6 Facebook accounts, white jandals, half Tongan.
Well, we have just met now, so...
Does she give you the vibes of someone who would have 6 Facebook accounts? She seems a little bit dodgy, sneaky?
Probably. I think that might be true, so... I think I'm going to go with the white jandals.
White jandals, you think that is the lie? I think the lie is, yes, you have 6 Facebook accounts. I really hope it is. Otherwise, who am I speaking to right now? All right, Nicolia, what is the lie?
Well, I hate to burst with you, Babu, but I do have 6 Facebook accounts.
What?
I'm a white jandal. Send an email. I'll send you a photo, and I am not half Tongan. My mom was named after a family in Tonga, but we were not connected by blood.
Nicolia, why do you have 6 Facebook accounts?
Because she's dodgy.
When you say she, you're talking about yourself, but you can do that because you're not only speaking in the third person, you're speaking in the 6th person. Okay. All right. That was great. Kind of. Let's move it along. So this weekend, this is my turn now. So this weekend, I'll be working at AFL's Gather Round here in Adelaide. So that's Australian Rules Football. We have one weekend where all 18 teams are in town and they're playing their games. I'm going to be hosting a number of events in which I will be doing the following. These are 3 things that I will be doing. 1, fly down a zip line across a river to Adelaide Oval. 2, walk on the roof of Adelaide Oval. And 3, skydive onto Adelaide Oval. Are we doing 2 of those things? What is the lie, Patricia?
I don't think you'll skydive. Nope. Yeah. That sounds like something you'll do, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
But skydive, no. I think you could be standing on the roof. I don't think skydiving is one of the things that you'll do.
All right, so you don't think I'll skydive. What about you, Nicolia? What do you think the lie is?
Yeah. I'm with her on this one.
Okay, why do you think I won't skydive, Patricia? You think I'm scared?
No, I don't think you're scared. I think that's probably a risk that you would take knowing how fun and outgoing you are. But I think the other 2 options sounds more plausible than skydiving.
Yeah. Okay, No, I like that. I was trying to start a fight with you, but you didn't want a bar of it. Congratulations, you're both right. I'm not skydiving onto Adelaide Oval. I have skydived before, though. I just want to put that out there. Thank you very much. But I will be walking on the roof of Adelaide Oval. That's going to be terrifying. And flying down a zip line across a river to Adelaide Oval. So that'll be fun as well. That does bring us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you to my co-host, Patricia Chiamo, sports reporter for ABC Radio Australia's Nisha Daily. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Bobby, for having me. It's been a fun episode. See you next time.
Nicolia Matearicki, sports presenter for Cook Islands Television. Thank you, Nicolia.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to our producer, Declan Byrne, to Stan Sport for the extra audio used in the episode, and a special thanks to you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific here on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with 2 new co-hosts from across the Pacific talking all things sport in our region. This episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.